her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like
it's pretty rare to get something on the Carpless Talking text line before the show even starts. Every once in a while, maybe something's on there. If you know, something's gone wrong, we're off the air, somebody will send a text like, hey, there's dead air, trying to get someone's attention. That's helpful. But this is actual content that somebody had texted Chewy before the show is even started at 6:55. From John and MKE, Josh, you're 100% correct with the arrest Nuno parking under there. Just go in and shop thoroughly. With you completely. Have a great Friday. Josh, you're always the best.
What does that mean?
So, on Unsportsmanlike this morning.
Cone?
With Evan Cohen. Kevin Clark filling in for CC and Smalls today. They were discussing one of their producers, Nuno, who apparently, if he's going to a gas station and running in to get food, coffee, water, whatever, he will park at the pump even if he is not getting gas.
That's Bush League. It is Bush League.
It's what I said. That's why I sent arrest him.
Total.
Because it started on a discussion that was based on if you pump gas and then run in, is that bad etiquette? And they determined that, where the producer Pat, who does the I'm over it, determined it was bad etiquette to, even if you had purchased gas, go in. Which I think there's a gray area there. If there's 30 pumps at one of these big gas stations and there's plenty open, you can run in and pop out. Obviously, if you're going to do your shopping there, which some people actually do, you probably want to move forward. But if you paid for gas, that's your spot, to me.
Like, yeah. As long as nobody's waiting.
Right. You have seen lines. Like, yeah. There has been times where you see people backed up. Then I'll either not go in, I'll be like, I'll figure it out, I don't need anything that bad, or I'll just pull up to one of the many parking spots. But to use the gas pump as a parking spot instead of parking on the side of the building or wherever they have parking, totally bad etiquette. Hate it. I see people do it all the time.
No, we're living in a society, people.
Yeah, we need order.
Yeah.
We need expectations for one another.
Exactly.
All right. What about the people that go to the gasoline station just to go to the bathroom without buying anything, gas or anything inside? No.
You got to buy something.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, if you're a long road trip, there are plenty of, like,
rest stops.
Oasises. Yeah, little oasises where you can stop and, you know, and just go to the bathroom there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going into a place of business, they're, you know, they're not there to help you relieve yourself.
I do think there are small children, fine. The kid needs an emergency stop, don't care. Maybe you have a medical issue. But yeah, if you're a normal person and I shouldn't say normal person. If you are able-bodied and not, you know, have the bladder of a 10-year-old, buy a water.
Yeah.
That easy. In and out. You got something. Like
most of those stores have their own brand that's like $1.19 for like a bottle of water.
While we're on the topic of unsportsmanlike.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm nervous.
Did Cone get just a big head? I mean, does he think he is just so big time? Because he used to do our content meetings, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every other Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then he just disappeared and like he's an untouchable. Like, he's like Favre with his own locker room. Like, what are you, big time now?
I mean,
cool because you have a morning show? It's like you can't check in every now and then to a content call and like, hey, guys, haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on? Everything good? Like, when I'm done with this show, could be tomorrow, could be 2 years, could be whatever. I'll still check in.
No, you won't.
Yeah, that's
No, you won't. You want to know how I know that? That's the giant lie that you just told.
Because, I don't think so.
Because, this is how I know this. Because before you and I started doing the morning show and then we added Jen, but before we added Jen, it was just you, me, and Chris Larson was our producer for about a year. And before you did that, you were on the air with Craig Karmazin and the Sunday Morning Football show for what, 12 years, 13 years?
Yeah.
Like it was over a decade. And you told him that you would every once in a while call in and check in and do his show. What have you not done in the last 5 years?
I offered to do it from my house. That's a lie.
We all knew it. You said it.
No,
and we knew
because
it.
All right, let me just say this. You guys love the Friday Saturday night text chain.
Love
that
it.
That is your favorite time of the text chain. You know I'll still do that. It's just like Cone's like, I can't stand. It's kind of like Orlovsky and Jason, right?
So for those unaware, on Wilde and Tausch, they used to have Dan Orlovsky on as a guest from time to time. It wasn't with any frequency, but from time to time. And as Dan got bigger and had more responsibilities at ESPN, didn't have as much time for Wilde and Tausch.
I believe they had him on pre-ESPN when he was kind of just doing cut-ups and stuff online. So,
yeah, but this is worse because Cone actually had a relationship with us. And then he just ghosted us because he's Mr. Big Time now.
I got some bad news for you, Chu.
What?
Gabe and I both communicate with Evan probably multiple times per week.
Yeah. Well, then does he have a problem with me?
No, he's just leaving you alone.
Yeah, the thing you beg everyone to do.
Fair. That's definitely fair.
It's
That's
just
definitely fair.
And the reason why we don't talk to him anymore, because it's not his job anymore.
Well, and he's like busy. He's on the radio. It's hard for him to listen to our program. Like, us going against, well, he's on the air makes it more difficult for him to be an active participant.
Yeah, because I cut him loose. I did. I said, we don't need you anymore. Well, maybe he's offended by that.
And now you're saying, well, why aren't you coming back to us?
Wait, so
you sent them to the wild.
So in your mind, you broke up with him, and now you're wondering why he's not coming back begging to be a part of your life.
Ask Ashton and Brian D. Said, we don't need him anymore.
Yeah, I know you said that, but now, so you told him to go away, and now that he went away, you're like, whoa, is he too big time? You told him to go away.
Well, you would think he would like, check in. I mean, I think it was very nice of me to lessen his workload. I mean, I just don't get it.
Were you doing it out of the goodness of your heart, or had you just got tired of him saying what he usually says?
What I was really hoping for, Joshy, is those content meetings going away.
Yeah. So you misplayed your hand.
I did. I lost. It blew up in my face.
Just
yeah.
Thought he had a good hand, threw a few more chips in the middle.
Turns out they had a straight flush.
Yeah, that backfired.
Well, speaking of that, like, it sounds like you had a little bit of a rough go at dinner last night, big guy.
Well, here's the problem. All right, it was Dyson's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Dyson.
The second son. And we are taking him to a steakhouse. My in-laws are in town. Very great place, very nice. The waiter, little over the top. I'm sick of the oversell? What is it?
Upsell.
Upsell?
I'm sick of the upsell. Now, I had a glass of wine. You know what I actually had? An old-fashioned.
Ooh.
You know what I'm huge on now? Old-fashions.
Wow.
Bourbon?
I didn't realize how popular they are. And I'm a fan. Because I said they weren't probably a year ago, and I was wrong. They're great. So yeah. I was feeling good.
Wait, can I just call time out and bask in you admitting that you were wrong about old fashions? Like, I feel like I fought pretty hard on that.
I was wrong.
So I know. I just wanted to bask in it for a second.
Wrong.
And now we can continue your story.
So the guy was a little annoying, you know, checking in, which is fine. But when you're in the middle of a conversation, you constantly have to say, yeah, we're good. And this was every 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
So
got a little annoying.
Okay.
But Angie got, my wife got super annoyed because of the upsell. Well, do you guys want bread? The bread's fantastic. Well, that's an extra $4. Let me tell you what. The truffle butter on the steaks is amazing. That's $6. So Angie just said, I had it and said, stop upselling. It's getting annoying. But the more I think about it, I'm like, everywhere you, I'm sick of the upsell. I just got my oil changed. Well, do you want to add an additive to the oil we just put in that makes it last longer? I'm like, I just bought new oil. And you want me to put something in the oil? I'm like, enough. The dentist. Wait, you want fluoride? The dentist. You want fluoride? I got fluoride one time, Gabe.
Okay.
One time for $55, I got fluoride. You know what happened my next checkup?
You had a cavity?
I had a cavity. You think I'm ever doing fluoride again? This stuff is fake. Are you guys sick of the upsell?
I guess I haven't really thought about it, but, you know, and you know, it's kind of, everybody's looking, you know, times are tough. Everybody's trying to, you know, try to make that dollar stretch a little bit more, but try to get a little bit more for the business.
But shouldn't they be self-aware, be like, all right, I'm selling nothing here. I'm gonna stop. I'm just going to stop.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention, we've talked about some of your ventures, the businesses. Do your car washes, which we've talked about before, not upsell?
That's different.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make
totally
sure.
That's different. Because our stuff actually works.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. That's the difference.
I mean, there is nothing.
You don't need the truffle butter.
There is nothing like a good underflush.
Exactly. You need the underflush,
Josh. The Rain-X on the windows.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That Rain-X, that stuff works. I mean,
we're giving it to you.
Steak.
We're giving it to you at cost. Plus a little bit more.
Yeah. Really more of a benefit for you. Chewy's making like, you know, 2 pennies off of that.
That's different. I'm helping you out.
I've worked in the customer facing portion of, you know, the service industry, be it in retail stores or whatever, or even in restaurants. I hate the upsell, but I understand why, because it helps you pay the rent, keeps the margins.
Sure.
Typically, those things they're giving to you, and the reason I avoid them pretty much altogether, unless I've decided already I want that, that seems like a good addition, is you know that that's the thing that's like getting them the highest margin. There's a reason they're, I mean, even menus, when you look at them, mm-hmm. the things that are boxed aren't like, oh, this is our best. This is where we make the most of our money, typically. And that's why they star them, they highlight them. That's just like, you're being upsold everywhere. I just don't know if you knew it all the time.
Yeah, but
what do you think?
There be a point where you call the dogs off and like, all right, the sales pitch ain't working? No?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess.
If you're self-aware enough. But I mean, did you guys get the truffle butter on the steak? Did you get the bread?
I did.
Yeah, see?
Hey,
yeah.
Well, so
he spotted us.
He's about to say, he's got you, now he's just reeling you in. He hooked you, and now he's trying to reel you in for more.
Yeah, he did.
What do we think is the first upsell? Like, where did the upsell craze start?
I mean, we're going back to the foundation of sort of capitalism, if we're thinking. I mean, the baker's dozen feels like that's working the other way.
Baker's dozen?
That's benefiting the consumer.
Yeah. Well, they throw in the extra one?
It feels like it just got annoying like maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, there's probably trace that back to economic things, to be honest.
Well, because that's, again, like wherever you go now, you get asked to leave tips everywhere.
Yes.
You know, so
Angie,
you kind of noticed that maybe a little bit more.
Angie talked to the waiter after because I'm like, outside, you know, waiting to leave because Dyson was going his own way. And I'm like, where is Angie? I'm like, where were you? She's like, I was talking to the waiter. You know?
Well, she's just trying to get, like, the 411 on
the upsell?
The first
thing she said to him as we were leaving, my wife has a little bit of vomit problem with the mouth. She's like, you're annoying.
Oh, me.
But I think in the end, she helped him out.
Okay.
You think?
Well, I mean, it depends upon what she said after you're annoying. If she left it at, hey, you're annoying, I don't think that helped anyone. If the conversation continued.
She explained why in the upsell and this, and you're around the table. You were interrupting a conversation too much, you know?
See, that's more helpful because now, I mean, most people, I would say, would start with the compliment, but that's not your wife's style. She's more aggressive than that.
Yes.
You know, so, hey, you're annoying. She's got the guy's attention, and then she lets him know why. I think that can be helpful.
I have an important question here, because
between
the two hosts, you and Jen, there seems to be a lot of confrontations that happen just in life. How often do you guys go out to eat where it is to the nines, everything went the way you expected it to be? Because it feels like zero.
No, it's not zero, but you got to, we went to one place that was outstanding, and it was back home in Wisconsin, unbelievable, but the money was ridiculous, so you kind of have to balance the two out, you know? I mean, it was unbelievable, but it was four of us, My daughter was, she's not old enough to drink. Wink.
Legally?
She is legally old enough to drink with her parents in Wisconsin.
She is. We had three old fashions and maybe one appetizer in the meal, and it was like $850.
Oh.
But it was outstanding, but I'm like, did I break a window in here or something?
Thinking about picking up a shift at the dishwasher.
Did that second old-fashioned like lead me to some place that I don't remember?
Yeah. So I think waiter and waitresses are best when you really don't notice them. Would you agree?
No, because a waiter and waitress that you don't notice means they're probably not around enough.
Yeah, so that's the other question. Would you rather have what you experienced where he's coming around too much or you barely see him at all?
Yeah, but instead of asking, is everything fine here, is this and that, can't you look at someone and tell if it's fine? I mean, if they got a sourpuss on and they're not eating, then you go, hey, is everything okay with your meal?
Yeah, but not everyone's going to tell you you're annoying. Some people,
that is good
myself, I've gotten the wrong meal and been like, well, you win some, you lose some. I'm just going to eat this and move on with my day.
Why are you from the school of, like, don't ever ask the kitchen to reheat your steak or
I would never. Unless it's like raw and dangerous, ain't no way.
Well,
like,
she gets it from her dad because we went to a place down here and the waiter was bad, and my father-in-law flat out said to him, you know what? You suck.
See,
and then, Angie and her mother and I think my sister-in-law proceeded to order dessert. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm out.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm out. I want nothing to do with dessert.
I think that's a smart move on your part.
Yeah.
I think you made the wise choice, my friend. Do have one text I want to get to here on the Carpless Talk and Text Line. Again, a lot of people chiming in, but Ryan from Iguanago saying, congrats to Chewy's son on the new coaching job. So, again, you were with Dyson last night, who was his birthday, but your oldest, Dylan, the new offensive line coach at North Dakota State University.
Yeah, national champs last year. So he's fired up. He's known the head coach. He was at Iowa with the head coach a couple jobs before. So he's excited. Great program. Very excited.
North Dakota State's better than, like, half of the Division I program. Like,
yes. They should have beat Colorado last year if it wasn't for a BS call. Yeah. Yeah.
So just wanted to get that out there.
Thank you.
Congrats to Coach. We will talk to Jason Wilde about all things green and gold coming up next.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is a Packers legend. He is Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. What an honor it is and a privilege it is to be part of a fellow Friday. It has always been something I've wanted to be a part of.
We're trying out accents.
Anything in my English accent.
Yeah, we're trying out accents. Like.
Trying stuff. Well, if you're going to call me a Packers
than Craig's
legend.
Well, I just thought that was part of the proper introduction to you now.
Packers reporting legend, if you want to get it right.
Okay.
But yes, I appreciate that. Yes, the great team at Channel 3 WISC-TV in Madison did introduce me that way when they made the announcement of my employment. So that was, as I joked, that was wildly an overstatement, but it was kind of them to say.
Jason, I just want to put kind of a bow, because I know you and Tausch love putting bows on things.
Oh, we're big on the bows. Yeah, big bows.
Just putting a bow on the conversation we had yesterday about Brandon McManus. Do you believe that Brandon McManus will be a Green Bay Packer in 2025?
Not with any level of certainty, no. And this grab, I'm excited to go back to yesterday's conversation. I'll tell you that much. look, I don't get a, like, I talked to Brandon McManus twice. I'm not the only one who got this sense in discussing this with my other Packers reporting legends. Like, he wasn't, like, super enthusiastic. Now, maybe I don't know him at all, right? Like, Chewy, after all the time that I covered you, I could read you pretty well, right? And I think I would say that about most of the guys that I covered. And obviously, Brandon McManus arrived in, what, mid-October?
Yeah.
Right? He had the walk-off against Houston. So maybe it's just that I don't know him at all, and I don't know how to read him, and it's unfair for me to use any of my personal experience with him to try and project whether or not he wants to be here or not. But for a guy that, as we know, was facing some adversity, perhaps self-inflicted adversity, over the allegations of his behavior on the Jacksonville Jaguars flight to London the previous season, that led him to being released by Washington after Washington had signed him to a good contract. For a guy that, you know, really got a second chance because of the Packers' desperation at kicker. Because, look, if your guy, the Narv dog, is kicking the ball well, he remains their kicker, and they never go out and get Brandon McManus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a guy that whose career was, I would say, resuscitated. Now, I'm guessing with the bad kicking around the league, he might have gotten opportunities elsewhere as well. But for a guy that got a second chance because the Packers needed him, I was expecting him to be a little more enthusiastic about the idea of wanting to come back in 2025. And he was kind of meh about it both times I asked him about it. And so, again, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe he's just a reserved guy who doesn't get super, you know, excited or isn't going to reveal much in interviews. But I just didn't get the sense that it was like, oh my God, I found my home here. And maybe he still comes back. But my point yesterday was that while he certainly was far better than the two young fellas that had kicked for them over the previous year and a half, you know, I don't know if that merits giving him $6 million or whatever it might be for him to return. And that's, you know, if Goody can get him back, because Goody has been clear that he does want him back, if he can get him back at $4 million a year, he will definitely do that.
Jason, I'm sure you saw the NFLPA report on how the players graded each franchise. If the current Packers graded their locker room a B, what would they give our locker room?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, who's afraid of Wayne Simmons like I was? I think it was after you had moved on, but there was the classic Vaughn Booker getting into a physical altercation with a player while the media was in there. And I'm sure there were times where your locker room got pretty raucous.
I'm saying the report, Jason, they're not happy with, right?
Like the physical locker room.
The physical locker room, which I've been in, and it's like, oh my God. What I'm getting at, these players just pampered, like, to the degree?
Yeah, first of all, it's way more fun to talk about how Beer threatened to tell the wife of one of his teammates that he was having an affair, and that teammate threatened to gouge his eyes out. Or Jermaine Smith, when I was standing by Santana and Gilbert's lockers, informing me that I ain't talking today. Yeah, I ain't here to talk to you, bro. But in terms of the...
Jermaine Smith, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he was a backup defensive lineman, 99-ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that would be more interesting. Well, yeah, apparently the Packers agree with the players about the locker room. Because I've been kicked out of my office for the offseason because they are renovating the primary locker room. and all of the equipment area down there. We will have a new media auditorium because they are expanding the equipment area, and it is expanding right into our media auditorium. We're going to end up actually, the media auditorium will be the old team meeting room. They'll have a new team meeting room, and they are completely overhauling and renovating the entire Packers home locker room. So for the entire off-season program, the plan is for it to be done before training camp begins. But for the entire off-season program, the players will be using the new third locker room that they built up by where our offices are. And so, like, they've turned the common area for our offices into, like, a player's lounge, which I'm disappointed because I like to be able to walk out of my office and get my butt kicked in ping pong by Bo Melton, and I'm missing out on that opportunity. But apparently the players' feelings about the locker room, the Packers, either they have just so much money to burn or they agree with the players that they need a more updated, nicer, fancier, schmancier locker room. So,
Jason,
sorry, Chew, you lose this one.
Jason, where did you...
And by the way, your locker room was a dump, just to be clear.
It was, but I loved it. Jason, where did you hang back in our day? You know, because you were there for a while. Did you hang in the Lee Rimmel wing of the building?
So we had offices back then, too, which, of course, my favorite story about my office during that era before the renovation in 2003, whatever it was when they built it. I think it was 2003. I would always... Our offices were all along the side of the media auditorium. So if you've watched, you know, old stuff of like when Favre announced that he was going into rehab for his Vicodin, our offices were along the left. If you were sitting in the in the crowd looking up at the stage, our offices were along the left side there. And I would always leave my door open, which sometimes was a mistake because you had landline phones in there and it would ring during a press conference, then you look like a dink. But I left it open one day and for a Favre Wednesday presser, and I was in the locker room. I was going to come in late to Favre, and Favre looks, and I had this huge wall poster of Sheryl Crow, and she was wearing something that was, while not inappropriate, was a little revealing. And Favre sits down, and he looks, and he starts to answer a question, and he looks again, and he says, whose office is that? And somebody tells him, well, it's Wildy's. He's like, Wildy's? That's Sheryl Crow? I would have thought he'd have REM up on the wall, which I think is a reference to Michael Stipe, and I think you can follow the breadcrumbs there. So somebody tells me about it. So the next week, I printed like a 11 by 14 photo of the band REM, and I left it at the podium for when he came up to sit down, and he got a big kick out of that. So, that's my office story.
Jason, before we let you go, the talk of the combine isn't a player, it isn't a prospect, it isn't any general manager or coach that's spoken. No, it is Fox's Jordan Schultz, who allegedly and reportedly verbally accosted NFL Network's Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks, of all places. Have you ever been involved in any sort of altercation with your fellow media brethren?
I've been in some disagreements, and I've probably raised my voice once or twice. Was this
public or private? Did you do it behind closed doors, or did you do it in front of everyone at a Starbucks?
No, I mean, I had one or two in the locker room. Look, the one thing that I would ask of people, and I am always, even if it's television or radio folks, if you have a one-on-one, I'm not going to interrupt it. Because I think that if you've made that connection, I think you should respect that. And usually that player, after you're done, especially if the person doing the one-on-one is respectful enough to realize, hey, other people are going to want to talk to him. But there have been a couple times when that's caused some issues for me. Here's my issue with this whole story, though. I don't know Jordan Schultz. I do occasionally go to Starbucks. I would say Ian Rappaport is you know, like a tier 10 friend. Like, we've been friends for a long time, but I don't text him regularly. I definitely don't want any of those guys' lives. It's great that they make a ridiculous amount of money. I don't want their lives. I love my life.
Because you're always on. News can break at any moment.
Exactly. Now, my phone is on, and I am always paying attention to things. But if Sid is shooting a free
throw... Unless Randall Cobb happens to text you or send you a DM in the middle of the night.
In fairness, I was sleeping, thank you. For those that don't know that story, Randall Cobb gave me the scoop that he was coming back to the Packers, and I was asleep. And so I didn't see the text until the next
morning. Didn't get
to break it. Such a pro. Yeah. God, you guys are lucky to be my teacher. But I would just say this. One other thing that I try not to do is be a jerkweed about other people's reporting. And I like Ian a lot. I could not do his job, nor do I want it. But, like, that whole thing about Jordan Schultz reporting that Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford being together at some, like, ski resort or whatever in Montana, I thought that, look, that is a major story. Mm-hmm. And to just take the agent's word for it that, oh, they were there by happenstance is crap. And I do have an issue with doing agents or teams bidding. And that's why, I'll be honest, it's one of the reasons why I'm not a complete hack. It's one of the reasons why I don't get a lot of scoops. Because I don't want to play the game. I don't. I don't want to carry water for people. And does that cost me in some ways? It does. But at the same time, like, you're telling me that there's nothing questionable about, and this is what Tom Brady has created by being a minority owner in a franchise. He can't just go skiing or whatever the hell they were doing with Matthew Stafford, who may or may not be traded and on his way out of the Rams, and his team needs a quarterback, and to just swallow the explanation that they both were there by happenstance. Maybe they were, but to suggest that it's completely irresponsible to have reported that they were together at this resort, I'm sorry. I don't know Jordan Schultz. I don't have no reason to defend him, but I'd have been pissed too. And I don't blame him for that. So you can make all your jokes about how his dad was the CEO of Starbucks and they argued at Starbucks and all that's great. And I know McAfee had a fun time with it. It was fun TV and radio. But if that happened to me, I would have probably said something too. Now, I'm not super confrontational. So I think the first words out of my mouth probably would have been, come on, man. Like, we've known each other a long time. Like, really? Like, come on. And I would have talked to him and not said, we're going to have a blanking problem. But, like, again, I just would caution folks from always just sort of taking hook, line, and sinker everything that is always reported out there.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Looking forward to hearing you and Tausch coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
I might do the entire show in a British accent. Please, what do you think?
Please don't.
I'll take I'll take that advice from a national radio host and choose not to do that. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is Friday. It is time to talk to our pal, Craig Karmazin. He's next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
love talking to Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good Karma Brands founder and CEO. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
Going back to a couple of days ago, when Alex Stroh ran all of his combine drills, again, a video that's available on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, are you relieved that there is now somebody less athletic than you at GKB and at ESPN Milwaukee, so Chewy has someone else to make fun of rather than you?
What? That is ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Like, less athletic than me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm athletic.
I just
ran a half marathon, like, without training in the last 3 months.
That's not athletic. It's like riding a bike. It's like, yay, you can ride a bike.
Well, I don't know how to ride a bike.
Craig has game.
I mean, I feel like over the years of you guys doing, you know, the old Sunday morning football show together, like, Chewy, I mean, you were a target of Chewy's in your athletic prowess.
I was, but, like, come on. I mean, we have some very athletic people, like Division I athletes, Division III athletes. I mean, I got cut from a Division III team, so I'm not, like, at the top of the heap there. But, I mean, I'm not last. I mean, I would have no concerns of that.
Well, no, I don't think you were last either. But, but as bad as the performance that Stroh put forward, like, Chewy's got a new target.
Well, what do you think Chewy would run in a 40 right now? That's what I was thinking when I was watching that.
That doesn't matter. I'm 56 years old. One of the funniest things Craig ever told me, like in all the years of doing a show with him. Now, we all know Angry Tim, right? Or Negatim.
Negatim.
We know Negatim.
Negatim.
Negatim is a big. He's a bigger dude. He's bigger than normal, right? So Craig comes up to me one day and he's like, "Hey, Tim was an unbelievable athlete, unbelievable back in the day." So I'm like, fullback, baseball, a catcher, kind of got a catcher's body. And I'm like, what did he play? And he said, oh, he's a swimmer. And I almost fell over in my chair.
I think you'd be a great athlete as a swimmer, Gabe, don't you think?
I would argue that one of the greatest athletes of the last 25 years is Michael Phelps.
No. Shut up. Quiet. Don't do that. We're not going to do this. We're not going to call NASCAR or race car drivers athletes.
Well, we're not.
One of my idiot friends,
the dumbest thing
he ever said is like, I'm sorry.
What? I mean,
like running marathons, Gabe, is that athlete? Everyone should be able to run, Craig, right?
Well, to do it at an Olympic level, to do it at Division I, like swimming's a really good workout. Like, not everybody is a good swimmer. Like, it's an athletic feat.
Dude, yeah, but I the think way swimming Craig is very it. Athletic. To swim at the D1 level, that's legit.
All right. I think basketball players are the best athletes out there. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yes.
Craig?
I'm with you.
Football players? Like, I'm sorry, Gabe, baseball players, you're down, man. I don't even think you're top 10.
I mean, have you seen some of the guys that trot out to the mound? Yeah, I get it, man. Like, I get it.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean,
saying.
There are some baseball players that are great athletes,
oh, yes.
But I wouldn't. Yeah.
Again, and nothing against Daniel Vogelbach, but when you see that guy playing first base, you're not thinking, oh, great athlete.
But I've seen sloppy bodies. I've seen Gilbert Brown run a 4.9 and dunk a basketball.
Yeah.
Which is unreal. I mean,
that is unbelievable to me. That is super. Like Tausch.
Oh, yeah. Tausch great feat.
Unbelievable athlete. Mm-hmm. You know?
Sick athlete, and people wouldn't necessarily realize how unbelievable an athlete.
I'm just putting those kind of people down. Like golfers, Gabe, where do you guys stand on golfers? Are they athletes? They're athletes.
They're more athletic than they used to be, but they're not like high on the list.
Okay, so I would put swimmers kind of in that area. That's all.
No, swimmers are way above baseball players, way above golfers.
I mean, the cardiovascular, like all of it with swimming.
Let me just say this. Craig, let me say this. If LeBron James dedicated his life to be a swimmer, he would be the best swimmer in the world. Michael Phelps cannot do what LeBron does on a basketball court.
LeBron can't do what Michael Phelps does in a pool.
Yeah. Swimmers are better than basketball. I'm just saying swimmers are really...
They're athletes.
Like, that's an athletic thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not unbelievable athlete. Not, the way you sold it, the two didn't match up. They didn't match up. Right? Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. Okay.
All right.
Don't need to argue more.
Speaking of basketball, Craig, the Bucks are have come together, I think, pretty well since the trade has happened. They've had guys in and out of the lineup. Big win last night over the Nuggets. What are your hopes here over the last couple of months of the regular season?
I want this team to finish in the top four, and then I think they have a great chance. I mean, I love the way this team's come together. I mean, Brook Lopez had an incredible job against Jokic last night, even though Jokic put up great numbers. This team's athletic. It feels different. I mean, I'm loving this team right now.
Craig, can I go to football now?
Craig, oh my
God. You're dialed into Cleveland, right? Grossi and Riz and Aaron Goldhammer.
I'm surprised he knew all those names.
What do you think
Impressive.
The Browns are actually going to do? Because Myles Garrett said, I'm not signing an extension here, which I would think now organization has to pivot. Do you think at the end of the day he gets traded?
I don't. I mean, I think Jimmy Haslam, and if they're dug in, if they're saying that, I don't know why they would say it if they're not going to follow through on it. So I could see them rebuilding their entire team on that trade, and especially with the other high draft pick they have. But at this point, all I could do is believe Andrew Berry and the organization.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like the NBA. Like, if this was the NBA, he probably would have been traded already. But he's got 2 years left on that contract, so even if he's not open to signing a new one, I can't imagine that the Browns are, and that's disappointing to me as a Packers fan, because I would love to see if the Packers would be aggressive enough to go get him, but it just doesn't seem like he's going to be on the market.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just like, from an organizational standpoint, a guy doesn't want to be here, and he's not going to...
By the way, Chewy, you rip Rashawn Gary all the time. Like, who on the Eagles has better stats than him last year? Like, you're so unfair, by the way.
No, wow.
So unfair.
Wow.
Craig, he had how many sacks, Gabe? Six and a half?
Seven and a half.
And one of them was the offensive lineman was sitting in his stance till
how many Eagles? How many Eagles had double-digit sacks? How many Eagles had double-digit sacks?
That I don't. All I know is the defense won that
zero.
Game.
The answer is zero.
Double-digit sacks is an arbitrary measurement of a few plays in a game. The Eagles had no plays with players with double-digit sacks, and they won the Super Bowl because of their defensive line. They had no defensive linemen who had more sacks than Rashawn Gary, and they won their Super Bowl because of the defensive line. Like,
I guarantee...
It's so unfair.
I guarantee if you put it on the poll right now, Craig, would you rather have Sweat from Philadelphia or Rashawn Gary? The poll would come back at 90% Sweat.
Yeah, and there's going to be better players, but it doesn't mean that, like, that Rashawn Gary deserves to get killed by you all the time.
Well, are you telling me you're okay with them rolling this defensive line back again next year?
I'm saying this defense is getting better and was improving and will continue to improve because the linebackers are young and improving. So, yes, I think, and you guys are fair on Quay Walker. Quay Walker's going to be better next year. And he was getting good before he got hurt.
Yeah,
Quay Walker
and
Cooper are both good.
But that doesn't help the Packers generate a pass rush with four. Like, the linebackers are exciting, and I don't want to take away from the linebackers, but if you want to talk about the Eagles won the Super Bowl because they generated pressure with their front four, not because Zach Bond was a great blitzing backer.
That's not on one person. Right. That's not on one person, I guess, is my point. And I think Rashawn Gary is good enough at his job, and if he's surrounded by others,
but he's not being paid. But he's not being paid to be good enough is the problem, Craig. He's being paid to be elite.
Not being paid to be Myles Garrett.
No, like I'm not expecting him to be a Myles Garrett, but there is a large gap.
Yeah, but Myles Garrett has double-digit sacks every year. No one else really does, right?
Here's what I think, Craig.
Fair,
which is what he is.
Fair, but can I get one double-digit sack season out of him? How about one? Is it unfair to ask for one? Because that's what you get paid for in the league. You get paid, you get double-digit sacks. That's what you get paid on.
This is what I think. If you took Philadelphia's defensive line and had that as the Packers' D-line next year, I would sit here and go, you know what?
You'd be like, oh, they don't have double digit sacks.
Because you know what a great you know what a great D-line does? It makes your cornerbacks that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them that much better.
I agree. So I'm just saying, let's not overrate the sack as a stat, is what I'm saying.
How about a pressure? Correct, they were 26 in the NFL in what, Gabe? Pressure or
In rush win rate.
That's not going to get it done.
They're not good.
Not going to get it done. You know? Yeah. I think D-line is the second most important position on the field.
I'm fine, and that's fair. I'm just saying when you're unfair. And you're unfair.
I'm too hard on him?
Fucker also.
Well, I expected a little more from a varsity letterman.
When Xavier McKinney says that Quay Walker and not be so skeptical all the time. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but right, I mean, Jair Alexander kind of ruined any player endorsement for Chewy after he said Romeo Doubs needed to be triple teamed this year.
That would not have been a good defensive strategy if you were playing against the Packers. I would agree.
Craig, we always appreciate the time, bud. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys.
Craig Carmison joins us each and every Friday here on Gen Game.
Gabe, I would put Craig, give me an athlete who's a 10. You can't be professional. Craig is a sneaky athlete.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he's got good hand eye.
In
like he's
a lot of areas.
Like he's a good tennis player. He can shoot the basketball well.
Yeah. Like Craig, he's got a little ollie. A little bit of Ollie, you know, Ollie from,
yep,
Hoosiers,
from Hoosiers
in him, you know.
Timely reference.
But Craig could, at crunch time to advance to the state championship, he could get you two free throws.
Oh, he's knocking down those free throws, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So take that as you will.
I still can't get over the Michael Phelps stuff.
What do you mean? Like, Chewy doesn't think Michael Phelps is a good athlete?
Crazy. They did, like, studies on him on how his body's, like, specifically made to be good at swimming. LeBron James wouldn't be, like, it wouldn't be the same. He's, like, too dense.
All right, I'll go another way. Like, if LeBron James was a goalie in soccer, he would probably be the best goalie ever to play in the sport.
Yeah, he'd probably be one of the best tight ends to ever play in the NFL, too.
As long as he's
one of one.
As long as you can get hit. Because you got to be a little loose, right?
Yeah, you got to be loose. Because, yes, there is an element of being crazy to play in the NFL.
See, my measure was always, I don't care if you played baseball, if you played football, if you played swimming or whatever. If you can play basketball and do it well, you are a really, really good athlete. That was rule of thumb.
Okay.
That's why let's not sell Strofe down the river yet until we get the film of him playing basketball in high school.
We will be doing on Mr. Irrelevant, listen to it, watch it, YouTube, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, Strofe plays sports. We're in the infancy stages of doing it, but he's going to be competing in hockey, basketball, baseball. Gabe, you're probably going to be part of the baseball thing we end up doing. He's going to be golfing all of it.
Kevin on the Carbless Talking text line ranks hockey players as the number one athlete.
Yes. They're good. They're definitely,
I mean,
top five.
To do everything you have to do and then do it with, you know, razor blades on your feet.
And a stick in your hands.
Yeah, that's
a good call.
That's pretty good.
It sounds like an endorsement to me.
Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up next.